Today we want to focus on this idea, a lifestyle of prayer with fasting yields results. It really does. If we want the power of the early church and great men and women of God, we must do some food fasting, if you're healthy. Matthew 6, verse 3, but when you give to the needy, verse 4, then your Father will reward you. Let me believe that. God rewards people who are generous. And Matthew 6, 6, but when you pray, your Father will reward you. Well, what kind of reward do you want for praying? I just want an answer. That's a pretty good reward. Okay. When you pray, your Father will reward you. Matthew 6, 17, but when you fast, verse 18, your Father will reward you. Why would he reward the first two and not the third one? Jesus said, when you give, when you pray, and when you fast, your Father will reward you. When means when, never. When never means if. Never. And this is a part of the Sermon on the Mount. I think Jesus got it right, don't you? When you give, and when you pray, and when you fast, your Father will bless you and honor you. So, well, I've had people say, I'm not going to try to earn anything from God by fasting and praying, but try this word, obedience. When doesn't mean if. When you give, when you pray, when you fast, obey. James chapter 1, verse 22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. We need to do what we hear and not just whatever we want to do. We need to do what we hear from the Word of God. And be doers of the Word and not hearers only. And that's where a lot of Christians are today. They're hearers only. They go to church. They say, oh, that was a great message. And they never do one thing about it. When you give and when you pray and when you fast and when you go to church and when you speak to your mountains and when you take authority over demons and devils and when you really do the will of God for your life, you'll be blessed and rewarded. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. If you think you're going to be blessed and not be a doer of the word, this book says, the Bible says, you're deceiving yourself. If we believe we can succeed in life without doing the word, we're deceiving ourselves according to what that word says right there. Everything is not fixed. A lot of Christians believe that God is totally sovereign to the point that he has everything fixed and we have no say in anything. If that's true, why did Jesus say, ask and keep on asking? He that asks and keeps on asking receives. Why did he say that if everything is totally fixed? And I asked God about this sovereign thing. I said, well, they say you're sovereign. He said, I am sovereign, therefore my word is sovereign. Everything I say is sovereign. And if you'll do it, you'll receive a blessing from it. His word is sovereign. When he says pray, he means it. When he says when you give, when you pray, when you fast, he means it. He's sovereign God. That word is sovereign. And you better do it, I say. Say that to myself. You better do it. You see, Satan is a liar. Prayer with fasting does change things. It doesn't do any good. And people say, well, I just can't fast. Well, you can. And when you go to the doctor and you got a procedure going, he says, don't eat anything from before midnight until the surgery or whatever it is at 3 o'clock. You fast that time, don't you? You have no choice. And there was a woman here in the church years ago. She's arguing with the Lord. I was talking about doing a 3-day fast. She said, I cannot do a 3-day fast. I cannot. I cannot. She didn't say anything to me, but that's what she was saying to herself and to God. She got sick and didn't eat a bite for 3 days. And the Lord spoke to her, you did fast. She said, oh, I did. 3 days. Can you say amen? Do I need to pray for God to make you sick for 3 days? I won't do that. And he wouldn't answer if I did. He doesn't answer stuff like that. Luke chapter 11, verse 28. But he said, blessed, happy, and to be envied. This is the Amplified Bible. This part is, I read different scriptures, but I try to find the best translation that really brings out the meaning of the Greek. I have spent a lot of time doing that. Luke chapter 11, verse 28. But he said, blessed, happy to be envied, rather, are those who hear the word of God and obey and practice it. Wonder who said that? The boss, the head guy, Jesus, the head Jew. And he said, blessed, happy to be envied, rather are those who hear the word of God and obey and practice it. I have been greatly blessed by doing the word of God. You see, we can choose a blessing by doing the word of God. Luke chapter 4, verse 2, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. Now this is Jesus. If he needs to fast, then I need to fast. Where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. So Jesus went into the wilderness not to fast. Sometimes I've kind of had it in my mind he went to fast. No, he did not. He went to be tempted of the devil. Read it. It says he went to be tempted of the devil, and he chose fasting as an instrument against the devil. Prayer with fasting. Where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days. Say, ate nothing. And at the end of them, he was hungry. Jesus went into the wilderness not to fast, but to be tempted of the devil. It wasn't a Daniel's fast. It's better to do a Daniel's fast than not to participate. If you're healthy, have enough faith to believe that God will help you fast. And get the sermon I preached last week, because I told you how to fast. And it's not only a fast for spiritual reasons. If you'll do those things, you'll be healthier. Amen. Jesus chose to face the devil through prayer and fasting. You may be cruising along pretty good right now, but sometimes we hit a mountain. That mountain just don't want to move. And fasting, to me, is a turbocharger that helps you get that mountain knocked out of the way. You see, we need to confront the devil's attack through prayer and fasting. We need to go against the devil's giants and mountains that he places in our lives, and if they're not moving, add fasting to your prayer time. Or go ahead and join the fast and be fasted up and ready for a fight when the devil shows up. You see, we need to confront the devil's attack through prayer with fasting. Matthew 4:11, then the devil left him and angels came and attended him. If Jesus needed to fast, so do we. He is our example. So what Jesus did and said, we need to do. Jesus didn't. He wasn't doing a Daniel's fast there. Okay. He didn't take a thermos of soup out there in the wilderness. Okay. He was fasting. He didn't eat anything. And if you just read the message from last week, I do a juice fast. You drank some juice, and kept passing out or almost passing out. One time I was in a, I don't think I've ever told this here, but one time I went to a hotel, and back then didn't have cell phones. I didn't even know where I was. I was fasting 3 days. I woke up one morning, could not get out of bed. Literally. I thought, man, what am I going to do? I can't even get to the phone over there. There was a phone in the room. And it took me an hour or two to get my feet out of bed because I didn't believe in drinking any juice, and everything, my body just about shut down. And so I finally was able to get out of bed, got down to a convenience store and got me a little something to drink, juice or something. I don't remember what it was now. It turned the lights back on, and I was able to walk and get around. I was able to think and able to pray. Well, you broke your fast. No, I did not. You don't know anything about fasting if you believe that. You drank a little juice, it burns up as fast as you drink it practically. And your body uses it for blood sugar for your brain to work. How many like for your brain to work? When I'm fasting, I want to be able to pray and read the Bible, meditate on God's word, pray for you. I want to get up here and preach. I can't do that laying in a coma. So you do what you got to do. God, listen, God honors whatever you do. Amen. If you launch into a 21-day fast, you make it one meal, God honor that. Amen. But the devil, you launched into a fast and made it just one meal. You need to laugh in his face. The devil, at least I made one meal. And God will honor that one meal. How many believe this is the truth? God will honor what you do. This is the New Testament church at Antioch. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Now this is a sacred assembly that God ordained, like just the same as in Joel. And so they had a time of praising and worship with fasting at this New Testament church. And what we're doing right here is a similar thing, a sacred assembly. It's coming together each night, worshiping the Lord, hearing the word preached to build our faith, praying for each other, believing for miracles, not only in this 21-day period, but throughout the whole year. Verse 3, so after they had fasted and prayed, now this is the second time. You know they didn't send them on a mission trip that very day. So after they had fasted and prayed another time, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. These people fasted and prayed over everything. That's why they had such great power. We want great power like they had, but we're not willing to do what they did. The Holy Spirit spoke to them when they prayed with fasting. The one reason that we had such a great anointing a while ago is because a lot of us have a lifestyle of fasting and we fast year-round. And the power of God, when you really pray, the power of God shows up because you've been doing your homework. Somebody say amen. And if you're not going to fast, at least praise God for us who do. Because you benefit from it just by coming to church here. Saul and Barnabas experienced great success because they heard from God through prayer with fasting. We hear and receive from God through prayer with fasting. In a service like this, Chuck Lester is with Chi Alpha today. He is the leader of Chi Alpha in the state of Tennessee. And they're on what they call a SALT retreat. And they've got, I don't know, hundreds of students there at this retreat. He sent me a picture of it last night. But Chuck had like six small strokes right in a row. And I went to see him in the hospital. I mean, it really took him down. And there was some lasting effects. And so he was standing right there and on the front row. And during the time of praying and fasting, and I walked over, laid my hands on him, and he was totally healed. All the symptoms of those strokes went away. He said, "Well, you must have great hands." No, we're all in this together. You know, that's why we come together every night and fast and pray and listen to the Word of God preached, because we're in this together. We need each other. It wasn't just me praying. It was everyone praying, but God honored it, and he healed him right on the spot. There's a lady right next to him had Crohn's disease, and she had been very sick with it. I mean, it is no cure for that. And so we laid hands on her and prayed for her, and she testified she was totally healed, never had any more problem with it. Crohn's disease. Well, I don't know about this praying and fasting. Well, I do. Okay, I do know. That's why I'm preaching it. Well, I've heard these scriptures before. Well, are you doing them? Do you believe them enough to act on them? If not, you need to. You not only need to hear me repeat it, you need to repeat it to yourself over and over and over until it goes from here to here. The Word of God appears nice, but it's not going to produce anything until it becomes a substance and evidence and no-so in here where you know. Now I see. Now I got it. I got that Word. And now I can step out on it and believe it. Acts chapter 14, verse 23. And when they had appointed and ordained elders for them in each church with prayer and fasting, they committed themselves to the Lord. They committed them to the Lord in whom they had come to believe. Now, the first time, after they heard from God, they went around to all these cities and preached the Word of God. Many people got saved in each city. And then when they go back, they ordain leaders. You got to have leaders. Can you say? God has ordained leaders. He's given some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. We need to respect those offices. But we all have the same Holy Spirit, the same name of Jesus. No one has more authority. Maybe authority, but no one has more power than a believer, just a pure believer. He that believes on me, that works I do, he shall do, and greater works than these. But it says, when they came back, they ordained elders or leaders in the church. How did they do that? With prayer and fasting. Some of you went to sleep. Let me read again. And when they had appointed and ordained elders for them in each church with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they'd come to believe. The Greek says prayer with fasting. And I've tried to change the way I say it. It's prayer with fasting. It's not about fasting. It's about prayer and meditating on God's word with fasting. If you're not praying, seeking God and meditating on the word of God, all you're doing is going hungry. So it's prayer, meditating on God's word, going to church, hearing the word of God preached, worshiping God like they did there at Antioch. And when you put it all together, it works. Amen. Can you say amen? The Greek says prayer with fasting. It is about prayer with fasting. You need to be in these services every night if possible. Just do it for 21 days. Can't you hang in here for 21 days? Sure you can. Well, I'm tired. I have to work. Well, that's why I keep preaching every Sunday morning. Some of these preachers fly all the way in here. They'd like to be able to preach on Sunday. I said, no, I've got to keep working so these people see that I'm working too. And about 19 times, I fasted 40 days, and sometimes 41, 42. And kept preaching all the way to the end, didn't miss prayer meeting, did everything I was supposed to do, showed up for staff meetings, didn't miss anything. And how'd I do that? Drank a little juice, a little bit of coffee to keep me warm. Can you say amen? And you can do it. They did it. Prayer with fasting. And we make it sound like it's so miserable. I'm really looking forward to it because after I get on a long fast, I actually feel better than I do when I'm eating. He said, well, that's nuts. No, it's not. Digesting food is really hard on your body. When I get off of food, get my digestive system shut down, there's no belching or burping or no heartburn, no nothing. Okay? And if you do have a little heartburn for some reason, you take a half a teaspoonful of baking soda and put it in water and stir it up, and it takes care of it. Can you say amen? But for the most part, I feel better when I'm fasting than I do when I'm eating. He said, well, that's nuts. No, it's not. It's the truth. I mean, there's a lot of people around here to tell you that. Amen. That's a miracle. You got amen on fasting. It is about prayer with fasting. The anointed elders through prayer and fasting. But look, you got to know what you're doing. And if you'll get that message from last week, and even the brochures we give out has got some of those points in there about how to do a long fast. Fasting was a key part to everything these people did. They did not go on a mission trip. They prayed and fasted and heard from God. And when they started churches, they fasted and prayed again. So fasting was a key part of everything they did. So Paul listed the things he experienced. Now listen to this. If you want to know why Paul did extraordinary miracles, I'll show you right here. 2 Corinthians 11:27. And awareness and painfulness and watchings often. Now, you're not going to hear a message like this probably in any other church in town, maybe one or two. And most preachers don't know it because they haven't spent their lifetime studying it. But I have. And so I'm giving you some information here that will help, will prove to you and anyone you want to teach it to that fasting really is in the Bible. That's what I'm really doing today, is showing you that these people of the Bible fasted. New Testament. Now, we'll get the Old Testament later, but right now, New Testament. 2 Corinthians 11:27. He's talking about himself. He said, in weariness, in painfulness, in watchings. Watchings is interceding in prayer, sometimes all night long. In watchings, often. In hunger and thirst. In fastings, often. In cold and nakedness. He said, I've been through all of these things. People assume Paul was fasting because he could not get food. I went to Oral Roberts University to earn my doctorate in ministry, and some of the professors there, they were actually saying, well, Paul fasted because he couldn't get food. I said, no, sir. You may be the professor, but that's not what the Bible says. Here's what the Bible says. The first Greek word for hunger here is hunger. And in hunger and thirst is limos, hunger caused by lack of food. Some people go hungry because they have no food. The second Greek word here, fasting, often is nestia. The word for fasting is nestia, which means fasting for spiritual reasons often. So he fasted because there's times he couldn't find a McDonald's. Or Hardee's. Or Papa John's. Okay. Other times he was fasting for spiritual reasons. Just like Jesus fasted 40 days. And he says, often, in weariness and pain. This is all things he experienced for Jesus Christ. In weariness and painfulness and watchings, intercessions, all night long or a big part of the night, hour or two. Often, in hunger and thirst. In fastings, often. Fasting for spiritual reasons, often. That's why he had such great power, is because he learned to apply fasting to his prayers. In cold and nakedness. But the first Greek word for hunger here is hunger is limos, which is hunger because you have a lack of food. The second word is anestia, which means fasting for spiritual reasons. All of the references about fasting I have given use the Greek word anestia in some form. I went back and made sure. Yay. All these scriptures on fasting is anestia, fasting for spiritual reasons. Jesus fasted for spiritual reasons. Paul says, I have fasted because I had no food. I fasted often for spiritual reasons. Paul had a lifestyle of prayer with fasting. That's why he had the word often. Prayer with fasting has become the lifestyle of this church and many of us in this church. This is why we have the 90-day fast schedule that we give out after the 21 days of praying and fasting at the beginning of the year. We want it to be a lifestyle, and it doesn't hurt you. It helps you. It helps you to have greater power in your prayer time when you pray. So we know that early church Christians had a lifestyle of prayer, fasting, and doing the Word. The Didache, this little book was discovered in the 1800s. It got lost. You know, we came through the Middle Ages, and a lot of things were lost. And the Roman Empire fell, and for a long time, the whole world was just chaotic. And they lost a lot of books, a lot of writings. They got stuck away somewhere and weren't discovered for hundreds of years. And so in the 1800s, I think about halfway through, this little book, the Didache, was discovered. The Didache, and this is not some mystical thing I dug up. You can Google it right now on your smartphone, and it'll pull up, and you can read it right now, but don't you dare. Ushers walk around, greeters walk around the back, and make sure no one is reading the Didache while I'm preaching. But look at this. The Didache, are the teachings of the 12 apostles, claims to be the teaching of Jesus, the teachings of Jesus delivered by 12 apostles to those seeking to become Christians. It was used, among other things, to teach people about prayer with fasting. Its internal evidence appears to date it between 60 A.D. and 90 A.D., which means the apostles were still alive, at least most of them. Therefore, most scholars place the date on the Didache before 100 A.D. Consequently, it could have been the teachings of Jesus Christ written down by the apostles. Very well could have been. And they believed it was. And it was just as important to them as other scripture. The Didache says your fast should not coincide with those of the hypocrites. He's talking about the Jews, you know. And I know today we're talking about Christians persecuting Jews, but then it's the other way around. It was Jews persecuting Christians. I mean, no one has the total right to be prejudiced against everyone else. Anyone can have that prejudice. He's amen. So the Jews had a real prejudice against the Gentiles at that point that were Christians, and so they were even having some of them put to death. Paul was even trying to have some. I mean, they did stone Stephen to death. So anyway, it says, your fast should not coincide with those of the hypocrites. They fast on Mondays and Tuesdays. You should fast on Wednesdays and Fridays. They fasted 2 days a week. And they you can study Christian history in those first 200 or 300 years, and they did. And all down through history, about every time a great revival has broken out, they were fasting and praying. The Didache also requires that the one who baptizes and the one being baptized must fast, and any others who can. Those being baptized were expected to fast 1 or 2 days beforehand. Now, that would cut down on the baptisms in America. If people being those being baptized were required to fast, and they were required to fast before they were baptized. So this is a food fast. This is not a Daniel's fast. Here again, you do a Daniel's fast, that's what you feel led to do it. But the only person I know that did a Daniel's fast was Daniel. So this is a food fast, not a Daniel's fast. Eusebius, the first church historian, he was born in 260 A.D. He suggests that the Didache, I have that book at home, he suggests that the Didache might have been considered to be part of the canon of Scripture. They treated it that way. And Clement of Alexander, born in 150 A.D., that was long after the apostles were all dead, he quotes some of it as Scripture. So this proves the Didache was a very important document for the early church. They really believed in and practiced fasting. They followed this Didache very closely. If it had been included in our Bible, which it seems like it almost was, we would be required to fast. But the Lord prefers that we volunteer, that we fast and pray and seek His face because we want to. And if you want to bad enough and you're healthy, you can fast some. But the want to has a lot to do with it. And being afraid of it has a lot to do with it. The devil says, well, if you fast, you're going to die. If I didn't fast, I probably would already be dead. And some of you would, I don't think you'd made it through fasting, through the COVID, if I hadn't been teaching and preaching these things. Because we fasted and prayed, stood together through that time of COVID, but everybody in this church had it, and everyone but one got healed. And two or three of you were hanging by a thread. Well, when I started fasting is when God gave me the revelation on Matthew 8, 16, and 17. Jesus healed all that came to Him. So a lot of us in this room are alive because of fasting. And that is no way putting any credit on me. It's the Word of God. You got the same Bible I got. And if you spend enough time studying it, you'll come to the same conclusion on a lot of these things I've come to, because the Bible is the same yesterday, today, and forever, just like Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God's Word does not pass away, but we got to study and put it in context and know what we're talking about. That's why I'm giving you these other things. This is how the New Testament church practiced it. They fasted 2 days a week. That's why I give you all of these things, is to show you that this is what they did. And they had such great power, they conquered the Roman Empire. And the Roman Empire at the end went to totally Christian and even required everybody to be a Christian, which was a big mistake. But today, we started out as a Christian nation, and because we will not fast and pray, we've almost lost America. And it's not because of some politician, it's because the church is refusing to be obedient to the Word of God. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from the wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, when the Bible says they humble themselves, it says fasting. They humble themselves with fasting. It means fasting. If my people, which are called by my name, shall fast and pray and seek my face and turn from the wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. That's the Day of Atonement that's listed in the Bible, and Paul calls it a day of fasting. And that's what they still do, I think. They still use that Atonement Day as a day of fasting. I'm just trying to show you what the truth is from Scripture and history. Amen. I just amen myself. Amen, Pastor Barry. Polycarp, he was born in 65 A.D. He writes, "Wherefore, forsaking the vanity of many, and Wherefore, forsaking the vanity of many and their false doctrines, let us return to the word which has been handed down to us from the beginning, watching unto prayer. Now, these guys, their writings are recorded in the Apostolic Fathers. It's a great series of books, about 30, 40 of them, about all on shelves, about 10 feet long. Okay. And you can read about Polycarp there. He writes, wherefore, forsaking the vanity of many and their false doctrines, let us return to the word which has been handed down to us from the beginning, watching unto prayer, which is intercessory prayer. Watching meant praying. Very often, hour two at night, maybe all night, watching unto prayer, intercessory prayer, and persevering in fasting, beseeching in our supplication the all-seeing God. Polycarp says fast. Polycarp was a disciple of St. John. St. John was taught by Jesus Christ to fast. And then he turned around and taught his disciples, just like I said earlier. Jesus commanded his disciples to teach their disciples, those who believed on Christ through them, command them to do the same thing I've commanded you to do. So evidently, John had commanded Polycarp to fast, and he fasted. And at 90 years old, they arrested him, and the Romans did, and tried to burn him at the stake. And they call it legend, but I think it really happened. They built a fire under him, and the flames went around him and wouldn't burn him. Polycarp. And the fire didn't burn him until they stabbed him with a knife and killed him, and then the fire burned him. And he says fasting is the key. So Ignatius, another great historical great historical character in the New Testament church. He also was a disciple of John, and John evidently taught him to fast. He says, devoting thyself, and by the way, that letter that Polycarp wrote is Polycarp to the Philippians, and it's on page 73 in the Apostolic Fathers. And Ignatius says, devoting thyself to fasting and prayer, but not beyond measure, lest thou destroy thyself thereby. So you need to know what you're doing when it comes to fasting. What he's saying is, drink a little juice, dummy. Well, I just love being right. It's not me, it's the word of God. And then history backs it up. This means don't overdo it. Use a little juice. Remember, early church Christians fasted 2 days a week and more. Ignatius is also a disciple, as I said, of St. John. So this quote is from the Epistle of Ignatius to Hero. It's page 218. I mean, I've looked all this stuff up and read and studied it. Tertullian was born in 160 A.D. By then, all the apostles were dead. He said, certainly, let me back up. Tertullian certainly believed in fasting. He says, they who are about to enter baptism ought to pray and repeat with repeated prayers, fast and bendings of the knee, and vigils all the night through, and with the confession of all bygone sins. He says, fast, pray, repent. This sounds like the Didache, and he probably was partly quoting the Didache. Anthony, he was born in 251 A.D. He devoted himself. Well, I really studied him. He's really a character. He's a very rich man, and he gave it all up to go out into the desert and pray and fast the rest of his life. He devoted himself to fasting, praying, and meditating on Scripture in solitude in the desert, and lived to be 105 years old. So fasting didn't bother him. It helped him probably. People went to him for healing, and hundreds reported miracles. Anthony is called the first monk because he spent his time in solitude and prayer and fasting, and he trained others in it. Let's stand.